This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum, and we're in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're at the conclusion of the Millionaire Chess Open. Wesley So actually won first place in the playoff against Ray Robson. Both are students at Webster University. And you had the two Chinese players vying for third and fourth. So this is has been a great event, and there are lots of supporters who wanted to make this event happen, and they had almost 600 entrants here. And I have one of the early supporters with me, Jones Murphy, who is an advocate of this vision, Millionaire Chess, and he, as well as some others like Adia Oyongo, worked real hard in supporting this event. So, Jones, how was your experience here at the Millionaire Chess Open?
In over 30 years of chess tournaments, this has been my best tournament experience, you know, in every respect. The play was very intense, people were very motivated, and you can't ask for more. When you come to compete, you know, you're trying your hardest, your opponents are trying their hardest, and you leave it all on the chessboard, and in that sense, it was fantastic. Other aspects that were great were just meeting old friends like you, Daim Shabazz, and Maurice Ashley, and so many old dear friends, so that was fantastic. I was also very impressed with the international flavor of the tournament. Very strong turnout from Asia, from Africa, from the areas of big economic growth, which bodes very well, I think, for the tournament's future, because the areas that were best represented, I think, relative to the travel costs and their current wealth, were the areas where the growth is biggest in chess and in everything else economically. So overall, it's a great experience and a very hopeful experience for me.
So there are already rumblings about Millionaire Chess number two. What kind of things would you have on your wish list for the second edition, or if there are some improvements that could be made?
I think there are a couple of different possibilities. One is to have the playoffs after the last round so that people can get both norms and playoffs. You know, I know that was a concern for some players. For me personally, I would like later gym hours so I could go to the gym after the tournament. This was a problem here. I had to go to the gym early, and it would take away from my energy during my games because I work out pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have a gym, you know, maybe one of the card key systems where you can just go into the gym by yourself if you have a valid hotel card key, mm-hmm. as many of those hotels do have. But these are relatively minor concerns, you know. On all of the big issues, I felt very, very satisfied with the venue. I felt satisfied with the type of people who turned out. I was less than satisfied with the American turnout in particular. I know there was some negativity, and I don't understand the objections that I heard, you know. Many people are objecting that they didn't come because they didn't think the tournament was going to be in business next year, and they felt that the payouts were too generous. So that's a very bizarre and irrational reason to object to not come to a tournament. I did feel that the payouts were generous, so I came and I took my payout. You know, and
right.
I got more money in this tournament than I've ever won in a single tournament in my life. Mm-hmm. And I expected, you know, that would attract players, especially the professionals and the people dependent on chess for a living. I would have expected many more American professionals to show up than I saw. Mm-hmm. So that was the one disappointing aspect, the lack of support from the United States. I mean, I think that's something to work on going forward, and for people to ask themselves, what exactly is inhibiting you from coming to this most lucrative tournament?
Yeah. Do you think this tournament, giving its scale in terms of the prize fund, will change the landscape of chess in America or perhaps the world?
I believe so. I mean, I think now the bar has been raised. Everything in the future is going to be compared to this tournament. You know, the bar has been Maurice raised the bar with HB Global. He's raised it again. So this is something that Maurice has repeatedly done now, set the bar higher. And he thinks as a player does. You know, this is a professional. He's a rational professional, thinking in the interests of players and just raising the bar. And I think from a corporate standpoint, it becomes a very interesting event because it's a spectacle. There's big interest in the money amounts. People can get their products out in front of a relatively upscale audience because the type of people who can afford to come and play, these are the people that corporations will want looking at their products. Mm-hmm. And they'll want the audience looking at that show looking at their products. So it's a very attractive product for corporations looking to get publicity for their products and to move product, you know, because you're looking at significant purchasing power.
Mm-hmm. So it's some of the different events they had a Buckhouse pizza party and a red carpet kind of backdrop where you can take photos, and they had a nice app where you can follow the action. Is there any of those incentives that you would like to see that might draw people more to come compete in Millionaire Chess?
I like them, and I hope they experiment with even more variety. I mean, this is a very creative team. Maurice, Ashley, and Emily, they continue to surprise me in good ways with all sorts of, engaging events.
Best dressed.
best dressed competition. You know, it was just fun. It was just a fun event, a very positive atmosphere, very different from some of the tournaments that I was enduring towards the point over a decade ago where I just stopped playing because it just wasn't that fun being in the tournament, you know. They were in very grim settings, very worn, you know, settings. People were dressed
shabbily.
Yes, you know, it just didn't represent an image of a situation where you felt attracted to come back, and I stopped playing, you know, for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But with events like this, I'll definitely play more. You know?
So this was your first tournament in quite some time. I know I hadn't seen you since the National Open in 2001, and you tell me you came out of retirement. So
yes.
Does this mean that we're going to see more chess from Jones Murphy in the near future?
Very much so. As long as there are more events like this, I'll definitely play. I vastly exceeded my expectations, and part of it is I've only been playing online. I haven't been playing physical tournaments for 12 years. My online rating was very low, so I didn't think I was very good, but I signed up for the tournament, even though my online rating was very close to the bottom rating of my section, of most of the people in my section. I thought, you know what, I'll just play and have a good time and so on. I ended up coming in fifth, doing far better than I imagined. Even 3 weeks ago, I was saying, this from a chess standpoint, or money-making standpoint, it just doesn't make sense for me, but I'll come and support Maurice, who's a dear friend, somebody I love a lot, and that was it for me. And then I came in here and played, and I realized, in retrospect, some of the people online are underrated, you know. And what I thought I was playing, my level was much higher. So it's been a good experience. It's been reassuring in terms of the fact that I haven't lost my skill as I thought I had. Mm-hmm. And the overall experience was just fantastic, the best I've ever had.
So kind of switching gears a little bit, you mentioned that you've known Maurice for a lot of years, and I remember also when I first met you, it was in Philadelphia.
Yes.
When Maurice and Jerry Vebold and myself came from New York to Philly and introduced me to you, and a lot of people have seen Maurice grow from just a player in the Prospect Park and becoming a grandmaster and then a coach and then a commentator and then an author and a book writer. This must be a very great sense of pride for you and
yes.
as the others, as seen by the turnout that he has gotten.
Yes.
So you might find some other players and say, hey, I want a piece of this, Millionaire Chess 2. I want to be in the building, and maybe it'll cause maybe a resurgence in the black community. What do you think about that? The impact that this could have on the black chess players?
I think for the younger, extremely, exceptionally talented crop of black players that we're seeing, this opens up a vision of a possibility of being a chess professional in a world defined by millionaire chess, where the payouts are far bigger, you know, and they're looking at professional lives comparable to those of poker players or, you know, tennis players or players in other big games and sports. So it completely changes their perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know. I had my own kids who were very talented. They were in the top. Two of my kids were in the top 10 in the U.S., and they beat players who went on to become grandmasters when they were small. But they turned away from chess, and they weren't that attracted to it because we would go to the big tournaments, and they would see the grimy settings,
mm-hmm.
shabbily dressed people, the miserable little payouts for a lot of work by mm-hmm. very talented and brilliant people. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You know, my oldest is an investment banker now.
Okay.
You know, and she's almost 30. She's making far more money than she thought she could ever make. And this was a child who was in the women's top 50 when she was 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then she turned completely away from chess. Now, you know, a young African American lady like herself can look at chess and say, you know, I have the talent for the game. I can see a future playing a game that I love. My daughter tells me all the time, I love chess. You know, every time I ask any of my kids about chess, why don't you play anymore? They'll say, I love chess, but I just don't have time for it, you know, meaning it's just been downgraded in their priority. things look very, very different if it's a game where there are regularly $10 million or $100 million tournaments like there are in other games and sports. You know, that suddenly changes things a lot, and suddenly they will, I'm sure a greater percentage of people will find time for chess that have the talent for it.
So we're looking at kind of a change in landscape in American chess. You have Rex Sinkfield, who's in St. Louis doing some wonderful things. Then you have this vision of Susan Pogar, who's been very helpful in growing and developing collegiate chess into a point where they have a near Olympiad strength team. And now you have Maurice Ashley. Are we seeing kind of a new era of chess in America, maybe another boom in terms of popularity, and not just among scholastic players, but just overall?
I'm not sure about the boom in America, but I'm 100% sure about the boom worldwide. You know, and this is very, very important. If you look at the support for this tournament, it was very disproportionately international. This is one of the most international events we've ever had. These people are going to go back to their countries, and their economies are growing much, much faster than ours. Some of these, their economies are growing 10, 20 times faster than the U.S. economy. That means in a decade, they're going to come back with 10, 20 times more people. So that, I think, is very hopeful. I think there's great hope for growth in the U.S., but it hasn't yet started. And in a way, that makes me feel very hopeful, because I feel like the level of the support in the U.S. will reflect the international enthusiasm. At some point, these payouts become so big that people who depend on chess for a living in the U.S. are just going to have to come out. It's just going to be irrational for them to not show. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of inspiration among younger players and African Americans, even dark Latinos or whatever, to see that people can come from very difficult circumstances like Maurice. Mm-hmm. I remember Maurice being in very severe financial difficulties when we were young. And the guy got no help until he was a very strong player already, all totally self-taught. This is a very inspiring story. Mm-hmm. He continues to surprise us and shock us in the most positive way with his very ingenious innovations and ideas. You know, he was thinking about this tournament for 12 years. I had no idea. And it makes me very happy to discover whatever else he's got up his sleeve that he's working on right now that we don't know about yet. So I'm very excited, and I'm definitely on his bandwagon and looking for more.
Well, certainly we all have enjoyed this last 4 days or so in the Millionaire Chess Open, and we hear rumblings about a second, and hopefully we'll be in a position to influence more to have the same experiences that we had in this tournament, the enjoyment that we had. Is there anything that you want to leave the Chess Drum audience as you think you're going back to New York later on tonight? Is there anything you wanted to leave with us about?
Yes, just a giant thank you to Amy Lee for her faith in Maurice, her partnership with him, her attention to detail, and her attention to us, the players. Amy really makes us feel very special, very appreciated for our talent and our effort. She's just a great person, a great businesswoman, a visionary, and let's support her next tournament. Let's join in. Let's take her money. I really admire her, I'm also here to take her money, and I did so to a greater extent than I've ever done in any chess tournament before. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much looking forward to see her again, and playing in her events. So that's my final thought.
Good. Well, we appreciate the time that you spent with us, and safe travels, and hopefully it won't be another 13 years before I see you again. So I'll be looking forward to talking to you on Facebook, and see you next year.
Look forward to it.
All right, this is Daim Shabazz, and we're signing off Millionaire Chess.